I'm a blues man, people. Blues man to the bone. I'm a blues man, people. Family ain't got no natural home. I'm a blues man, people, traveling from town to town. I'm a blues man, people, traveling from town to town. I don't let one thing get to me. Don't let one thing bring me down. Oh Lord.
Yes, indeed. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nick Gravanitis.
Well, for thank you, Madam Goldman.
Yeah. So let us just let everybody know Nick Gravanitis is visiting the Cow's Living Room, and Nick is here in preparation for this evening's gig at the Highland Dell in Monterrio, which we familiarly call the Geezer Show.
The Geezer Show, right. Early and early.
Early, here, get yourself a little close. You gotta almost swallow that baby there.
Early.
Because the first set starts West County time about 7:30.
Yeah, about 7:30-ish.
And then we all got to get home so we can have our milk and cookies, right?
We can watch Poirot on TV or something.
Yeah, I think we'll be home in time for perhaps, it's hard to know what'll be on TV. Today, there's not much more than tragedy, but...
Well, we're geezers, you know. I mean, I am. You know, it's lazy boy and remote for me.
But, yes, lazy boy and remote.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, this is, I'm going to get real famous real soon. And
you already are real famous.
No, we're talking big time real famous.
Oh, the one where you have your handlers.
Yes.
Yes, the handlers. One where we have, when I call your house, the handlers. Actually, when I called your house a little bit ago, the butler did answer. Please leave a message.
Yes, the butler did answer. Well, for the past many years, six at least, we've been working on a DVD. It started out as a band promo at a little bar in Chicago. And then 5 or 6 years later, it was a full-blown film being debuted at the South by Southwest Music and Film Festival a few weeks ago.
And what kind of reception did it get?
It got a good reception. I just read some of the writing of the people that saw it, and they loved it.
What's not to love?
Well, there's a lot. You know, it's a lot of work.
It was 5 years in the making, I think, wasn't
it? Yeah, easily five. And it just went from point to point. It went from a band promo to this to that. They got a director, a producer, a this or that. They got more people involved. They got all these little vignettes from people. Charlie Musselwhite's got some great stuff in it. Elvin Bishop, Bob Dylan, Buddy Guy, B.B. King.
Nick Ravenitis.
Yes, Nick Ravenitis. Yeah. Eric Burdon is in it,
So did you get to hang out with these guys this many years later, or were they all filmed?
No, it was all film. I hang out in Occidental.
We know that. And we're lucky.
This is where it's all happening.
Yes.
But no, I didn't hang out with them. I hung out with the guys in the band, Barry Goldberg and Harvey Mandel and Corky Siegel. And we're the, what we call the principals.
The principals, the elders, I believe. If it didn't sound too, excuse the expression, Mormon, you would be the elders, right?
Well, actually, the proper term is the owners.
The owners, the owners. And the woman who will not be on mic is here at the door, Marcia Gravenitis. Hello, right. Marcia. She's looking at her watch. I can see that your handler is here, Nick.
Well, she's handling me very well.
We can tell. You're looking healthy. You're looking good. How's your garden doing, by the way?
It's starting. I have this awful lot of digging and digging and digging. Those damn gophers and roots, must die. They must die. Actually, I don't battle gophers anymore.
What do you do instead?
I coexist.
What? You let the gophers into your many-layered garden?
No, I layered them off with construction wire and all kinds of things like that.
Yeah.
But I don't attack them.
Coexistence.
Yes, I don't attack them because I did that in my youth.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
No, I lost.
Yeah, so. Always. Are you going to Occidental Arts and Ecology plant sale this weekend? Do you know about that?
I don't know. I've got so many plants, I haven't even planted yet. Marcia goes to these things. She went to the Harmony School down in...
The Salmon Creek.
Salmon Creek School, right, and she bought a bunch of plants there yesterday. They had a plant sale there. The kids were selling.
Well, we can never get too many. In fact, I have a couple of plants in the trunk of my car right now. Wherever I go, it's like Velcro.
Yeah.
They want to be adopted.
Right.
Let's get back to the film. So what part of it do you like? I bet you I know what part, one of the parts. You like the story of the old blues guys coming to Chicago.
Yeah, no, I like the whole film. I mean, I was surprised. I mean, I'm my worst critic. And most artists are their worst critic.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say, oh, you were great.
Your handler is leaving. Marcia is now, Elvis has left the studio. Okay. So, but you're pleased with it?
Very pleased. I'm surprised at all the work that went into it to make it a movie. It started off as something for the brand to promo with, send it to agents and stuff. And it wound up a movie, a big time movie, and it... We went to Texas to talk.
Well, it's not just Texas. You went to Austin.
We went to Austin and just to be on panels with the film. And we get there, and the panel, it was supposed to start one day, but it got canceled, and we went on to the next day. So we lived on room service for a while. And then we went to these giant buildings and one spot to the other, getting our credentials, our passes, our little tags, and this and that. And finally, we get to the movie, the venue.
And?
And we go in. There was a camera crew from WGN Chicago there, and they filmed us all night, and they've stayed with us all evening, and got in, and we had a panel discussion where the principals were on stage with their little nameplates, and we had a moderator, and he was asking questions of each person, and that went on for a while, and then the movie was shown. But before the movie was shown, this gentleman named Mr. Black gets up and introduces the movie. He says, I want to tell you about this movie. He says, my name is, I don't know, Larry Black or Harry Black. Something. He says, I founded this festival 20 years ago, and I'm on the board of directors. In other words, he was the boss.
Yeah, he was the big man.
Yeah, he was the big cheese. He was there introducing our film.
Wow.
He said, a few weeks ago, I got a call from my old friend, Elliot Roberts, who has been a big-time manager in Hollywood for 40 years. You know, he's Neil Young's manager for 40 years, you know. He said he got a call from Elliot, who was a friend of his. He said, I got this great film. You're going to love it. He says, well, I can't because the submission date is passed.
Yeah.
And he says, no, you're going to love it. This is about the early Chicago blues with the white kids and the black kids in the 60s and stuff. And Mr. Black went nuts. He says, wow. He says, I was raised on those people. I know every one of those guys. He says, Send me the film. So
you got in.
He said, even though it was late and incomplete, he had it submitted as a film. And it was a last-minute kind of deal. And then afterwards, we had a question and answer with the people in the audience. And I tried to be as honest as I could. And then we went out to, took a rickshaw.
A rickshaw?
A rickshaw over to the Four Seasons and had a free dinner on the boss. So,
not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
But that was essentially my experience in Austin, and the only observation I could make is everybody there was under 30. Thousands and thousands of people, and all of them under 30.
So you got a whole new fan base.
And in that two-week festival, there were 2,200 bands. 2,200 bands. When I grew up, there were three bands. Right. There was Bill Haley and a couple others I didn't know about. That was it. Three bands. Now there's 2,200 bands out there looking for a break, a manager, an agent, a gig, something, you know.
Yeah.
Man, I said, wow. But the thing that really got to me was because they were all young and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I was an old guy. I'm 74. I'm wallowing around there. And I was invisible. Those people didn't see me. They didn't even have a flicker of recognition that I existed.
Because you weren't, Nick Ravenitis is like, who's that?
No, he was an old person. They didn't know my name or whatever. It was an old person. They just sort of like, don't see you.
Uh-huh.
You don't exist.
Yes, and I've had that experience, and I'm not even famous, so.
And I thought back in my youth how I felt about old people, and it was the same thing.
Oh, invisible.
God. Who wants to hang out with them?
Right. God forbid they should hug me and want to kiss me.
So I became invisible in Texas, yes.
And are you going to get visible in Chicago? Or are you going to go,
yes.
Let's see, they're having a screening, is it June 5th? There's a screening happening in Chicago, I know
yes.
that, and... I think it's June 5th, but I'm...
June 6th, actually.
June 6th, okay.
D-Day.
And yeah, really, something else nobody knows about, right?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly. Old people.
Old people. So you're going back to Chicago for that?
Yeah, a special presentation. The mayor is involved. It's like a big deal. The name of the movie is Born in Chicago. So they're going to go... A big deal, a special presentation and the whole thing at the Blues Festival.
And Born in Chicago is your song.
That's right.
So shall we take a little break and play that for just a moment? Or you want to keep schmoozing, or you want to play Since the Gas Station Left Town? You name it.
Yeah, let's play the gas station.
Okay.
That's a local Occidental song.
That's a local one. Let's talk about what is that about?
Well, we had a great time when this gas station was across the street, and Jerry Yost of Occidental Toll, we had that place, and we just we partied there every Friday night for 14 years, you know, and then they had to move because of gas tanks and money.
The toxic stuff, right?
The toxic stuff, they had to move. They moved, Jerry moved back up in the Camp Meeker, and the gas station closed and became a storefront, boutiques, essentially. And yep. It was an end of an era. Essentially.
And yeah, and that's Occidental. We're still, we're not exactly cute, but that's what people keep thinking we are. And we are distinctly not cute, but we don't have a gas station. You can get lots of antiques in town.
We can be cute for the right person.
For the right people.
That's right.
All right. So let us play since the gas station left town, and boogie on. Remember, tonight, Nick Gravenitis and the guys, plus special guests.
Yes.
Are going to be at the Highland Dell in Monterio. Who's going to be there with you tonight, Nick?
Benny King Perkoff, who's a famous
saxophonist. Right?
Saxophonist. In fact, his whole family in Marin's very big. His uncle was a big jazz guy, and Cy Perkoff. And he lives in Berlin now. He's married. He's had a baby. He lives in Berlin. He comes back just to do work, play, and do plumbing and that sort of thing. He's a plumber. And he comes back, and he works, and he plays, and he goes back to Berlin.
Well, let us play Since the Gas Station Left Town, and you wrote this one, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, Nick Gravenitis, Since the Gas Station Left Town, right here on Cowes Community Radio.
This little town used to be unique, but now they got it looking like a big boutique. Things are looking down. Since the gas station left town, you can go out and surf for a dot-com loan, but try hustling up $3 when the gas station's gone. Things are looking down. Since the gas station left town, one thing about it makes it so obscene. People will sell their children for tanks of gasoline. Things are looking down. Since the gas station left town. Gas station left town. All right, John. Chaps. This little town used to be unique. Now they've got it looking like a big boutique. Things are looking down. since the gas station left town. Since the gas station left town. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nick Gravenitis, yeah. When the gas since the gas station left town.
Yeah, with the great John Allaire and the great Roy Rogers. It was a great little trio, eh?
Oh, that, you know, you can't duplicate that kind of stuff.
No, they never heard that song before. I just started off, and the first verse was a little weird because the changes were a little weird. But bingo, there it was,
and
blues.
Yeah. And yeah, and actually Occidental has not been the same since the gas station left town.
No, it's not the same since the gas station left town, since Ranger Rick left town.
But you know, Ranger Rick is still here.
Yeah, I know. His statue is great.
It looks just like him, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Scares the hell out of you.
Yeah, really. I think that it's good that it's at the stop sign because I can just hear Ranger yelling at people, "You're supposed to stop at that sign. Slow down and don't be flicking your anything out of the window.
Quit throwing your garbage around. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Go back home."
So what else is going on with the movie? Are we going to likely be able to see this movie anytime soon?
Yeah, you know, we got the big guys working on it, and you have to let them do it. I mean, what do I know about this stuff? Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. I know about the coffee shop here and the hanging around playing.
You know
some blues.
Your coffee shops really well, Nick Gravenitis. That's one thing. We know you're an expert on tomatoes and coffee shops.
You know, I like this town a lot. It's my home now, and I've been here many, many years. And I know a lot of people here. They know me. You know, it's sort of like I'm a person, you know.
You are.
Instead of a personality.
Well, you are. You do personality, walk with personality, talk with personality, and plus you've got a great big guitar. So you first came to Occidental in, was it late 70s?
No, late 80s, 82, early 80s, 82 I think it was, yeah, 82. So that's, you know, 30 years, 31
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I mean,
been
you...
around, yeah.
Is this the longest you've ever lived in the same place?
Yeah, I was a beatnik for a long time, and then a hippie for a long time, and I travel all over, and a band guy for a long time. And I never really had like a home after I left Chicago and left Ma.
Yeah.
You know, I never really had
and left
a home.
The Greek and the whole Greek extended family community, and then the blues scene, and then you came to San Francisco and. It was only a matter of time until Occidental and you found each other.
Yeah, well, they chased me out of a few towns. You know, I mean, we managed to find the right place.
Yes.
In the early days, the right place was Sausalito, living on the houseboats and mm-hmm. stuff. But then that got too expensive, so people moved to Mill Valley because it was cheaper. And then, I know. That seems like a...
And remember when Occidental, when the road through town would change every 5 days, sometimes it was in the middle, sometimes it was on the side, you know, and then we got the stop sign.
Yeah, keep them guessing.
Then we got graped, you know, and then we got a lot of people who, you know, some perfectly nice people, but then there are people who bought land who don't even live here.
Yeah, I talked to Joe Lunardi, who was a local guy all of his life here, and... he and his family got much invested in this town in terms of the fire department and the public service and that sort of thing. And I said, "Joe, man, all these grapes here, you know, they're taking down everything." He says, "Hey, I've been farming around here for over 50 years. Started with hops.
Yep.
Went to from hops to sheep. Went from sheep to the apples. And went from apples to grapes. And a couple little hops somewhere in between, you know."
Yeah.
And so a farmer, he's got his land. He's got to make money off of it. I mean, he just can't sit there and watch it go fallow. I mean, that's what farmers do. They grow stuff. And the crops change. Mm-hmm. Things change. They go from one to the other, the next, to where the money is, where they can make a living off their land. And that's what they're doing with the grapes.
Unfortunately, they've got a lot of fences, and so it really fragments the habitat, and the critters can't get where they're going. And they're, you know, there's a lot of... Anyway.
Hey, I agree with you, my dear.
Yeah, I know.
Believe me, I'm just looking for some kind of reasonable rationalization for all of this, and it has to do with... keeping the land viable as farmer.
Yep, and I think it's a lot like Occidental is keep it diverse. You know, keep things, lots of different, you know, we talk about the local families, you know, the coffee shop over at the Union where you go. I mean, if it weren't for Barbara Ganella, who was a Posey, and the Ganella family helping to keep this town healthy with the tourists coming and the locals, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have much.
I can't say enough about the Ganella family. I can't really. There are no words to describe how I feel about them. They remind me of my family back in Chicago who had a candy store, a big one.
Yeah.
And they got up every morning early, and they went to the store, and they worked all day at night, and they went home at night, and they got up the next day, and they did the same thing.
Over and over.
364 days a year.
And they were closed on Christmas?
Closed on Christmas. That was it. And that's what the Ganellas do. Mm-hmm. They're up in the morning. They're baking. They're making raviolis. They're up there. You know, I get there at 6:15, 6:30, and I'm late. I mean, Barbara's been there for hours. Frank's running around doing this and that. I mean, this is like, these are the people I was raised with.
Yep, it's
hardworking, blue collarish, you know, middle class kind of entrepreneurs, have a business and stuff, you know. I mean, I was raised with these people. I love those people.
So do you think, is the candy store not there anymore, is it, in Chicago?
No.
What did they put there on that corner?
Nothing's there anymore. I've traveled back there with my family a few years ago, and I decided to take them a little car trip through the South Side where I was born and raised. I took them back to where the apartment building on 35th Street in Sealy, and I looked at that place and I said, wow, what a shabby place. Yeah, I don't remember it being that shabby.
Yeah.
Then I went to the store where the store was, and they had, like, removed the front half and made it into a burger joint.
Oh.
You know?
There's progress, huh?
Then I went, drove them down to my grammar school. It was gone. There was nothing there. It was just an empty lot. And I was so disappointed. I mean, everything there that I remembered, it was just gone, and it just gone.
It's really sad.
Yeah, well, it's just the way it is, you know. Your life, you go back to where you started it's gone.
Yeah.
Maybe ain't nothing there.
And like you say, sometimes things are so shabby, and when you grow up, you don't know that you're not well off. You don't know that it's shabby. It's just normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's family, and it's neighbors, and it's friends.
But I think that back when we lived there, I was young and stuff, it was a little bit better.
Yeah.
The whole thing was better.
You still have family in Chicago? You must.
Oh, yeah. I have a younger sister, and I have a couple nephews. And I have my first cousin by the same name, Nick Gravenitis, who was my total opposite in terms of character and personality. And
not a musician, huh?
No. Not a musician at all.
Not a writer?
No, not a writer. He graduated from Bradley University and went right to work for the First National Bank of Chicago. Worked in their trust department for 30 or 40 years or Lord knows where, and he traveled around. He'd spent some time in Greece because he could speak Greek. And then he retired. That was it. He had one job.
His whole life. Not like his first cousin, Nick Gravenitis.
No, but he had a nameplate on his desk in the trust department, Nick Gravenitis. And occasionally people would walk by and say,
You a blues guy?
Yeah, you wrote songs for Janis Joplin? He said, no, that's my first cousin, Nick. He lives in California. But he always gets a kick out of that.
Yeah.
You know, someone will stop and say, hey, man, He says, no.
So I want, speaking of your songs, when you wrote Born in Chicago, how did that song come about for you? Did it just sort of happen?
No, I guess it did. It did. There's a whole progression of how that song developed, and I wrote it in San Francisco.
Oh.
Maybe 1962 or 3 or somewhere there, you know. And I had another song, too, called Wayne. It was like in the John Lee Hooker style. And this one, Born in Chicago, very droney. You know, it really didn't have anything more than one chord, you know, and stuff. But I sang it, and that was it. But later, when I was in Chicago in 65, I had a band together with Mike Bloomfield and Charlie Musselwhite, and we had a little group going. Excuse me. I'm collapsing into this chair. And we did, part of this, what we did in that band was the Born in Chicago, mm-hmm. and also a song of mine that eventually became East West. We worked it out then. But later, when the Butterfield Band was in New York recording, Bloomfield came up with Born in Chicago. Let's do Born in Chicago, man. He says, I got some new chords for it, blah, 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 you know. He says, we could change some words here and there, and they did. And so that song was the amalgam of my music and words and stuff, Bloomfield's chording and direction and stuff, you know. But I took credit for the song because...
It's yours.
That's the way it is.
And it's been recorded by a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It was an early... I remember I did the Bohemian Club a few years ago. Joel Selvin had a book out, 25 Years of Monterey, and he had a bunch of the Monterey people that were there at the Bohemian Grove to do this special show. And
you got into the Grove.
Oh, yeah, I got into the Grove. I was treated very well. I got into Steve Miller's little enclave there, and they had nothing but money and food and wine and cigars and, oh, my God, hung out with Booker T and did a bunch of stuff. But mainly, that band that they put together for me on stage, Miller rehearsed them, Steve Miller.
Yeah.
He rehearsed them like a dog. They came up with the exact arrangement off the record. And that is not an easy arrangement. It's got a whole bunch of rhythm breaks and solo stuff and different changes and stuff. They got it exactly. And they had a 5-piece horn section with a director and charts, you know. They had Steve Miller and Joe Satriani on guitars. They had the Booker T on the keyboards. Carabello, the Bongo guy from the Kunga guy from Santana, Michael Carabello. It was a pretty all-star band, and I, you know, boom, right from the top, exactly the way it was supposed to be. And every time I had a break, you know, or I had to come back in singing, Miller was there saying, "Okay, it's time.
Go for it.
Go for it. It's your," you know, it was like, wow, they walked me through that thing, and it was beautiful. I had a standing ovation, the only one of the night, you know, and Jim Belushi jumped up from on the stage and said, "Nick," he says, "you wrote Born in Chicago. I've been playing that song all my time."
With the Blues Brothers.
That's what got me into blues. And Born. We played that 1,000 times. I just always wanted to meet you. I said, "Okay, Jimmy, nice to meet you, old bean." You know, that's what could I say? You know, they were all drunk and high. You know, yeah. They were having a ball. And I had a great time. And the show was great. Great. And later on, the next day, I was walking around in the morning, because you don't sleep too well there on those bunk beds. And I started hearing this organ music in the background. And I walked and walked towards the organ music, and I came upon this amphitheater with two people sitting in it, and this guy playing this organ music that I used to be an aficionado of 50 years ago. I mean, I couldn't believe my ears. And I just sat there, and I was mesmerized. And after the concert, I went up and talked to the organist, and I said, "Listen, I know that music from 50 years ago at the University of Chicago, Rockefeller Chapel, the second biggest organ in the United States. And I've listened to it 1,000 times." And he said, "Oh, well, that's interesting." And he said, "Do you remember the name of the organist?" And I said, "Yeah, of course. It was Heinrich Fleischer." And he says, "Heinrich Fleischer?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "A number one." And he was A number one. I used to go to not only his concerts, but his rehearsals and his practices. I sit there and listen, along with the students turning their pages as he was playing out. It was just an extraordinary experience there at the Grove to hear this exact same music. You know?
Wow.
Freaked me out.
Absolutely. Well, I want to let people hear a little of the Nick Gravenitis tune, and this is from the Chicago Blues Reunion with Barry Goldberg and friends. And so let's listen to a little bit of Born in Chicago right here on Cows Radio with Nick Gravenitis.
Chicago, 1941. Born in Chicago, 1941. My father told me, son, get yourself a gun. My first friend went down when I was 17 years old. First friend went down when I was 17. There's someone left to play the game. Rules are all right. There's someone left to play the game. But all my friends are gone, and I tell you, the things don't seem the same. Born in Chicago. Someone left to play the game. Rules are all right. There's someone left to play the game. But all my friends are gone, and I tell you, the things don't seem the same. I was born in Chicago, 1941.
Chicago, Nick Gravenitis, Barry Goldberg, and friends from the Chicago Blues Reunion. And I am about to say bye-bye for a little while to Mr. Gravenitis. Nick Gravenitis and the guys are playing tonight at the Highland Del in Monterio, and you're off...
Along with Ben Perkoff, who was a fabulous...
Ben King Perkoff, who's going to be playing sax.
Yeah.
And that's going to start around 7:30. It's West County time. You might want to get there by 7:30 because I have a feeling it could be crowded.
Yeah, it could be crowded, and It could be full of music, too. So
it's going to be full of music. We know this. So yeah. I want to thank you, Nick Gravenitis, for stopping by the living room. Always a pleasure.
Love you, Laura. Thanks very much.
Love you, too, Nick. Thank you so much. And let's do another Nick song. How about some Buried Alive in the Blues right here on Cows Radio? We'll be right back.
suck